Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
It is my absolute pleasure and honor to introduce to you not just my daughter-in-law, but let me tell you, a great woman of God. Brooke actually came to Christ at Wave Church. I think it was in college. Was it in college, Brooke? You're in college? In high school?
Yeah.
Right in high school. And I got to tell you, I am so glad that she married my son. I can't believe she married my son. He is the most blessed man in all the world, let me tell you. And what I love about Brooke, let me tell you, she is a woman of God. She is articulate. She is intelligent. And let me tell you, she can speak. And this is her very first Sunday morning service, and I want you to be extra kind, extra encouraging. See, the first service, they were all listening. But every now and again, just an amen or two is going to help. Amen? All right, church, would you welcome, would you stand to your feet? And we welcome this morning the very lovely, the very beautiful.
Thanks, Pastor
Brooke.
D. Hi, everybody. Good morning. How good is it to be in the house of God this morning? Our Sunday morning, Mother's Day. You guys can take your seats. I am so excited to be up here sharing with all of you beautiful people this morning. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, all the families that are celebrating Mother's Day today. I hope you guys were spoiled at home and you continue to be spoiled throughout the day because moms are a good thing. Amen. And a big shout out to the mama of this house, Pastor Sharon Kelly. She was preaching at our Wave Seaboard location this morning. She is the best. Don't you guys think that she's the best? She's my mother-in-law as well. She's Shazzy. She's grandma to my babies, and we have the most fun with her. We're going to celebrate her today, but I just thought that in all seriousness, I know how much she means to the people of this church, that she fills the gap for a lot of people in here, and she does that for me too, so she just deserves a little praise and appreciation from us this morning. So a big happy Mother's Day to Pastor Sharon. And while I'm up here, I also have to say a big thank you to you, Pastor Steve, and to Pastor Sharon for allowing me this great opportunity to speak to all of you this morning. I said it in the first service, but I think it bears repeating that I know their heart cares so much for the people of our church. So I don't take this lightly at all, and I'm so excited to be sharing. I have a word in my spirit that I think is going to minister to all of us this morning. So with all of that being said, church, will you pray with me and pray for me this morning as we get into the word? Dear God, thank you for being a part of this service. Thank you that your plan is so much better than anything we could come up with on our own. I pray that Holy Spirit, I would get out of the way and that you would have your way, that you would open up hearts and you would open up eyes this morning, and that we would leave this place more in love with you, knowing more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to get right into it. I want to share with you guys the message title of what I'm going to be speaking on this morning, and that is Well Waiting. Well Waiting. You know, I'm a type A, organized. I'd like to immediately write my title message up there on top of my notes. So if you guys are doing that, you can do the same. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's a Josh Kelly saying right there, and I stole it for today because I'm the one that's up here and I can do it. Amen. But I'm a mom. I love being a mom, and it's Mother's Day, and I'm the mom that's up here with a microphone. So you know I have to introduce you guys to my little babies. The team is going to put some photos up of my kids. Oh, that's Liv. She's so cute. She is 3 and a half. We love her so much. She rocked our world from the moment that she got here. She might look like me, but she acts like her dad. So you know our hands are full. Those were some family photos that we took when our youngest was born, so we are not above bribing her with candy. You see the Skittles right there in her hand. But our next photo is Lachlan James Kelly. That was Easter when I can still dress him up and he doesn't care yet. And we call him Lock or Locky. He just turned 8 months old this past week, and he just started crawling this past month. So our house is busy. It's full of the sound of little people, and that's just the best noise in the whole world to me right now. And then we have one more photo. That is my whole family, my little crew, me and Josh, and Liv and Locke. And I feel like we have a little bit more space for a few babies up there. So we'll see. Okay, we'll see. No, I love being a mom. I've always wanted to be a mom. And now that I am a mom, I feel like I more fully appreciate just everything that moms do, everything that parents do. I've always wanted to be a mom, but now that I am, I can more fully appreciate just what a great privilege and honor it is, a great responsibility to raise these little humans that God entrusted to me and to Josh for such a time as this, to go out into the world and to fulfill the God calls on their lives, and we just get to be a witness to all of that. I don't know what could be greater than that. Right? Amen. I love being a mom. But what I really wanted to make sure I was doing in this season of our life, we want to be the very best that we can be for our kids. So what I wanted to do in this season of my life is make sure and be very intentional with being fully present. The world has every distraction and is happy to give it to you, but I want to be fully present, remembering all of their stages and enjoying those stages. Church, I am 100% guilty of living life in a rush. Go, 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 hurry, hurry, hurry. What's coming next? Living life in a rush. Anybody else like that too? A few hands. Everyone else is perfect parents, and I can't wait to hear your parenting advice. No, I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Living life in a rush. Of and with good intentions, I think, looking to the next milestone with my kids and honestly just with life. I shared that Locke, he just turned 8 months old. He just started crawling. He was doing the army scoot for a little while, and it was really cute, and we were really proud of him because we're proud parents. But he's doing the official crawl now, and as soon as that happened, I found myself completely jumping ahead to, okay, when's he gonna start walking? When's he gonna start talking more? What's the next milestone, and when is that milestone? Or what's his next percentile range that he should be in? And what do I do if he's not in that range? And what do I do if he is in that range? And the questions just keep coming. Or with Liv, this upcoming fall, she has another full year of preschool. She's in preschool now, but she has another full year of preschool in the fall. And I found myself already saying, Brooke, okay, prepare your heart now. She's gonna start kindergarten after that. That's 5 days a week. Your little girl's growing up. What are you gonna do? When reality, you know, she has quite a few little milestones between then and now, and I do too, I'm sure. But besides just kids, there's cars and houses and travel and work and plans. And I know that my season of life might not look exactly like your season of life, but that you can identify with the pressure we put on waiting. I know that there's different emotions when it comes to waiting. There's different types of waiting. If you're like my husband, who's excited for everything, and that makes life so much fun, you could have an excited waiting period. Like when you place an order online for something and you're just eagerly waiting for that thing to arrive, and you get the email with the tracking, and it says, okay, this is gonna deliver on this date at 3 p.m., and then that turns into 5 p.m., and then that turns into 7 p.m., and you just have the anticipation of this thing arriving and opening up the box, and it's almost better than the thing that you've actually ordered. Right? Like, help me, Jesus, with Amazon Prime. 2 days shipping is just too easy. I can never go back from it now. In reality, I'm ordering cleaning supplies and diapers and paper towels, but it's exciting because it's coming to my house and it's coming in a box. Yeah. another type of waiting. There's frustrated waiting. We've said it before, and I'm sure we will say it again, but you're waiting at the DMV or to go through airport security, waiting in rush hour traffic to get home. I don't think I need to say anything more there. You guys know frustrated waiting. There's impatient waiting. Now that we're all going back into restaurants again, and that's great, but maybe you're impatiently waiting for your favorite table at that restaurant or waiting for your food to arrive. Or on this Mother's Day, maybe we have some pregnant moms in the house, and you are impatiently waiting for that sweet baby to arrive. All the moms know those last few weeks, those last few days before a baby gets here, and you would just do anything for that baby to get here, to get out, and to get in your arms. But the truth is, those are some easy waits. They're easy waits, maybe inconveniencing, but easy. I can tell all the pregnant moms again because I'm getting dagger eyes in my direction, but I promise you that sweet baby will be here in perfect timing and will change your world for the better. But what happens when we have a harder wait? When it's a life-impacting or life-altering wait, when that wait carries more weight to it? When you're waiting on an answer or you are waiting on a miracle. But can I ask you, how are you waiting? How are you waiting? Maybe great, and my hope and prayer this morning is that you do fall into that category. But maybe you fall into the other category and you have a harder wait. And maybe you're scared, or maybe you're angry, or maybe you're anxious. The good news in all of this is that you're not alone and that you don't have to go it alone. You see, waiting is a part of life, right? We can't escape waiting for very long. The years are short and the waiting is long. But all throughout the Bible, there's just full of stories of people and people in their waiting periods. These people who very much lived and loved and experienced emotion just like you and me, they were going about their everyday lives when their stories come to us as we know them. I wonder just how much of their waiting periods impacted those stories that we know so well today, and in how we wait, the manner in which we wait, how that impacts our own stories. I'm sure plenty of you in here have done some kind of a Bible reading plan before, and that's great. And I noticed in my reading this year just how many stories revolve around, or there's an encounter at a well. Has anybody ever noticed that before? How many stories in the Bible take place at a well? From Genesis well into the New Testament, we see this. And some of the more well-known stories I want to draw your attention to today, we have Genesis 24. It's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah goes out to meet Abraham's servant and offers him a drink of water and water to the camels, and that's how they knew that she was the one that they were looking for. Or in Exodus, Moses, he meets his wife at a well. And even into the New Testament, the story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman that's found in John 4, that was at a well. And I think too often that people of this world think that our God that we serve is a life or death, big moment only God. When he comes down from the heavens, you're in your big moment, that moment ends, and then he goes back up into the heavens till you need him in a life or death situation again. When in reality, we know that he is in every moment, every little moment he cares about our lives. Those stories that I mentioned to you before, again, those were everyday people who encountered something more. And in researching more and praying about of what I thought God put on my heart to share with all of this morning, share with all of us this morning, I found that throughout history, a well, it was a source of life. It meant consistency. It meant stability. They were used as meeting places, or they were used as landmarks for transportation or people traveling. And in fact, an enemy could reduce an entire city to starvation without even lifting a sword, simply by spoiling the well. Did you know that the enemy will attempt to spoil your waiting? I asked you before, but let me rephrase it this way. As you are going about your everyday life, as you are waiting at your well, are you waiting well? I'll ask you again. As you are going about your everyday life, as you are waiting at your well, are you waiting well? You know, I believe that there is a great power in the way that we wait. So this morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts on how I think that we can do our waiting seasons well, we can avoid that spoil to our waiting, and we can wait well. Amen? Amen. The first point I have for you this morning is to hold fast to the goodness of God. Hold fast to the goodness of God. You know, happy Mother's Day again. I love how our church celebrates life's big moments. I think we do a great job celebrating. And this Mother's Day, we have the photo booths, and you better believe I'm gonna get a photo with my kids. And we have great graphics on the screen, and we have great songs from our team who is so talented. But I also know that there are likely people in this room or people watching online. And your sentiment might not be quite the same celebratory sentiment as the people around you for Mother's Day this year. Maybe it's your first Mother's Day without your mom. Or I know that there's also very likely someone in here who would love nothing more than to be a mom or to be a mom again. Or maybe you just don't have that relationship with your mom that you wish you could have. First, can I say to you, thank you. Thank you for being in the house of God this morning, for surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Yeah. Thank you for being in the house of God. I know that that's not always an easy thing to do. But what I love about the church is that it is the hope of the world, that we can find hope in this place. We can find our hope in Jesus, and we can come alongside people and celebrate when they're celebrating, but we can stand beside them when we need that too. So thank you. I applaud you for doing that. And secondly, can I encourage you and everyone else under the sound of my voice this morning, hold fast to the goodness of God. Remember the good things of God in your life. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. He is the source of everything that is good." How easy it is to misplace that truth when life comes at us in a way we didn't expect. I shared earlier, you know, from a young age, I always wanted to be a mom. I didn't say astronaut or doctor or famous person, you know, those little things you scribble in the fill in the blank elementary school notebooks. I knew I wanted to be a mom. But from that young age and even into early adulthood, I didn't always have the best model for what that should look like. Some of my story is when I was younger, about Liv's age now, not much older, my parents were separated. They were going through a divorce. And my older sister and I, we went to go live with my mom in a different state. So not only were we, you know, walking out, navigating what it looked like of the separation of that family unit, but we were also physically separated from my dad. And unfortunately, my mom, she went down a spiraling path of negativity and bad choices. There was addiction and abuse and alcoholism, poor financial choices, and even worse, relationships in her life. And inevitably, that came into our home because, of course, those things always do. They don't stay hidden for very long. And that led to broken trust. It led to little broken hearts, and it led to a broken relationship between mom and daughter. So So fast forward a few years down the road from that, we're living with my dad now, and I'm doing the ups and downs of my teenage years with a stepmom. So think about those very stereotypical movies or TV shows and times it by 10, and that was us. You know, it was my fault, and it was her fault, and it was probably more my fault. We grew to have a great relationship. But she was very sick for a very long period of time. We were very used to having that sickness in our home. It was our norm. And she passed away following a medical procedure that she needed to have. And although that environment was something that I was used to, it still wasn't what I was anticipating to happen. So when Josh and I decided we wanted to start our family, we were so excited. We had been married for a few years. We wanted to enter into that next season of our lives, and then we were pregnant. And that was a whole new level of excitement. We told all of our loved ones, we told our family members, we told our friends, and we had the very best support system around us that you could imagine. So I was a little bit surprised, church, and maybe even a little embarrassed that I found myself starting to get scared. I had a fear in my heart of what it would look like for me to become a mom. Thoughts that God never wanted there at all. And then from there, the first trimester pregnancy sickness hit, which led into second trimester pregnancy sickness for me. And it was really debilitating. It was really hard. I don't say that to complain. I would do it all again in a heartbeat, but I do share it to just let you know the state that I was in. It was really hard. It was hard on my relationships. It was hard on me physically, and it was hard on me mentally. And isn't it funny and not funny at all that when we are unwell or we're sick or the culture of our heart is unwell and it goes unaccounted for or unaddressed, that that sickness can eclipse every good thing we have going in our lives? Let me tell you how easy it would have been to let those negative thoughts run wild in my heart and in my head. Thoughts like, well, what did you expect? What else do you know? What do you know about being a good mom? Of course, this is going to be hard for you. That my future would have been so held to the past that I knew. And that this most precious waiting season of my life, waiting for this baby girl to get here, that could have been spoiled in any way by not having control of my negative thoughts, by not remembering the goodness of God in my life. Amen. So the truth is, we all have waiting periods. We all have wells the enemy is trying to spoil. What is the enemy trying to spoil for you? And will you let him? The very thing, church, the very thing I knew that I wanted my entire life to be a mom, and today I know as my greatest joy and our greatest blessing, could have been spoiled simply by not remembering the goodness of God in my life. That he was there all along. He was weaving that goodness and that protection into my story. And that in my darkest days, he was there. That I could remember again, in my opinion, that I have the best dad in the world and that the man that I would fall in love with would have the most amazing family and the most amazing mom that I wish I could always have had. And that by his grace, I can build the family legacy that I want to have, the legacy that I want to leave to my kids. And that I can have healing and restored relationships where I promise you, onlookers would say, that's impossible. But we serve a God who loves to do the impossible. Amen? And although your situation looks different than mine, you can say, Brooke, you don't know my struggles. You don't know what I've been through. You're right, I don't. But God does. And he's working that same goodness. He's answering those needs that you have because he is good. Amen. Sometimes I think we need to stir that up again in our lives, remind ourselves again of the good things that God has done. Maybe a few of you need to go home and you need to write a list of all the blessings, all the protection that God has provided to you throughout your life. He is good, amen? So, one, hold fast to the goodness of God, and two, rest in the peace of God. Learn the perfect peace of rest. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, so rest in him. Share yourself with him. When you're celebrating, celebrate it. When you're grieving, grieve it. Share yourself with him. In Philippians 4, it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, church, the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure or lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Continues down. "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So, church, will you rest in him? Will you enjoy the peace that comes with relationship and surrender to Jesus Christ? That means wanting him fully and completely in every area of your life, every good thought and every bad thought and every thought in between. It means letting yourself trust in him and feel that perfect peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter the circumstance or situation you find yourself in this morning. Resting in the fact that he cares for you, that he loves you, that he gave everything for closeness with me and with you. Our team is gonna come and play a song here shortly. We're gonna sit and just reflect over the message a little bit together. And then Josh will come up to talk to you more about your relationship with Jesus. But before that, I'd love to take the time, this opportunity, to pray with you. If that's you and you're saying, yes, I want to make more out of the waiting season that I'm in. I want more out of this season, or I need to be reminded again of the goodness of God, knowing that I can leave this place with his peace. If that's you, church, would you pray with me this morning? Dear God, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you have always been here, that we can rely on you, that we can trust you, that you are the God that you say you are. I pray this morning, if we're feeling worry or anxiety or fear, that we could leave those things and we could follow after you, knowing your goodness and protection and your hand is over our life. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.